For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the prophecy of Malachi. And we start reading in chapter 3, and we read through to the end of chapter 4. Let us turn in the Word of God to Malachi chapter 3, and there we will start reading at verse 13. Let us hear the Word of God. Malachi 3, starting at verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, said the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I will do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Thus far God's word. Dear congregation, if I were to ask you where is the book of Malachi, I think even the children know where the book of Malachi is. We should know where all the books are, but especially Malachi is easy, isn't it? Because Malachi is the last prophecy of the Old Testament. That means that the Lord had already been speaking for thousands of years. He had come through all those prophets before and spoken, shown who he is, come with his promises, come with his calls, come with his invitations, come with his warnings. He had spoken and spoken and spoken. And you wonder what was the fruit of it all. What was the condition of those to whom he spoke after he had spoken so long? And on the one hand, it's encouraging. The Lord had brought the people out of exile to which they had gone because of their sin. And we don't read of them bowing down to Baal and these other idols that they so often did before they went into exile. And yet, as Malachi went through the streets, he saw things and he heard things. He heard that man say, what is the use of walking mournfully before the Lord? He doesn't seem to notice. What is the use of bringing those sacrifices to the temple? What is the use of fearing the Lord? What difference does it make? And surely the Lord will not be so upset if we... So people were thinking that sin doesn't really matter so much. There was this the superficial formality in the terms of the worship of God, but little more so often. And you say, is that to be the end? Is that to be the final word? After all that God has spoken, is that how it will end? With just this formal religion? It's something that we can wonder as well. When we see so much lacking, is that the end? Is that all? And then Malachi is sent by God with this prophecy that this, how it is now, is not the end, is not the final word. He prophesies of this Son of Righteousness, which is what we will listen to this morning, verse 2 and 3 of Malachi 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and shall grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us listen to this prophecy that dispels the darkness, that exposes the great difference that there is between those who fear the Lord and those who do not, and who brings great blessing and grace. Our theme is the promised rising of the Son of Righteousness. We will see first the ultimate rising, second, the ongoing rising, and third, the fundamental rising. The promised rising of the Son of Righteousness, the ultimate rising, the ongoing rising, and the fundamental rising of this Son of Righteousness. Who is this Son of Righteousness? Who is the Son who shines so brightly in the midst of the darkness? He's called a sun here. And you know there's only one sun, right? There's many stars. There's many lights. This time of year there's many lights everywhere. But there's only one sun. Incomparable in its brightness and in its value. That makes all that artificial light as nothing compared to it. Who is the sun? Children, you can tell me. Who is the only light in this world? The light of life. It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He is the one who's come into this world as the Son of Righteousness. He's the one who was promised already in the Old Testament as the one who would come. Remember how Balaam? I'm sure many of you have memorized that text of how Balaam prophesied of how a star would arise. And a scepter would come out of Jacob. A light who would be king, having a scepter. God provided kings. God provided a David to be king. But at the end of his life, David realized that he was not that star and scepter who was prophesied of by Balaam. He had to say that his house was not so with God, but he looked for one who shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. He looked for that day, that the daybreak to come. When would it come? Time went on. Isaiah prophesied of that coming light. In Isaiah 9, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now at the end of the Old Testament, with all these shadows that are hanging over the people, or better said, within the people, all the darkness that is there, Malachi prophesies that this Son of Righteousness shall arise. This sun will break over the horizon and shine with its righteousness in a way that glorifies God and brings light and life. What a promise at the end of the Old Testament. And as we listen to this promise, we have to ask, to what is this referring? And you said already it refers to the Lord Jesus, but in what way? Is this about his first coming? Is this about his second coming? Is this about his coming today to someone here in darkness? What is this rising? And we tend to think that this is a prophecy of Christ's first coming. After all, we often focus on texts like this in time of Advent. Christ is coming, it was prophesied. After all, Zechariah sang when his son John received his name about the day spring from on high visiting us. And at the same time, when you read these two verses, then it speaks of something even more than what Christ did at his first coming, doesn't it? When it speaks of how the sun will arise on those who already fear God's name, then it points forward to the second coming. And when we read in verse 3 of the treading down of these enemies under the soles of your feet as ashes under you, then it also points forward to that second coming. And also when it introduces this day as a day that will burn as an oven in verse 1, and all the proud will be as stubble, then it also points us forward to that second coming. So what is it? His first coming? Or his second coming? We ask that question because we stand between his first coming and his second coming. Whereas Malachi stood before both and was looking to that coming Christ. When you're in the prairies in Alberta with a group of people and you ask, where are the mountains? They all point west and they say, there are the mountains. You come into the mountains, the foothills and then the mountains, and there you are. And you ask that same group of people, where are the mountains? And they point there, and they point there, and they point there, and those mountains are all around you. So it is with this prophecy. Malachi was looking at that day of the Lord, at that great day with all that it involved. And we now stand here, and we look, and we see it's beginning to be fulfilled in his first coming, and it will be completed in his second coming, and it's also being fulfilled at this very moment as the Son of Righteousness shines. Let us this morning begin with that ultimate fulfillment. In that sense, we can then stand with Malachi and those he addressed, looking forward to that Son of Righteousness coming in all his glory. Listening to this prophecy is a testimony that the darkness that we see around us, the darkness that you may find within you, will soon be dispelled before the light of the glory of the Son of Righteousness, who will appear. What a daybreak that will be. The light that shines as the gospel is preached to all nations, and the coming and all the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus are like the brightening of the star of the sky that announces soon the sun will rise. Soon, congregation, that Son of Righteousness will arise, and every eye will see him. Every eye. Yours, mine, everyone who has existed. They will see him, because he will come as the sun, not just to shine on a certain part of the world like the sun today when it rises, but it will arise to shine upon all of mankind, and all the dead will arise, and all will see the light of the Son of Righteousness. He will appear in all His glory, all His brilliance, such a brilliance that makes the current sun that we can hardly look at with our physical eyes appear as darkness compared to the glory of the divine Son of God as He shines with the glory of God. He will appear as the Son of Righteousness. He will appear as the One who is absolutely righteous, and no one will be able to question Him anymore. No one will be able to accuse Him of wrong anymore. No one will be able to say, what difference does it make whether you fear Him or whether you don't? Because then He will appear in all His glory as the Righteous One. Is it any wonder then that verse 1 says that day will burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble? When that pure light of righteousness comes in contact with unrighteousness and pride and wickedness, that pure light of righteousness cannot just accept it and shine in favor upon it. No, that pure light of righteousness must burn it and must consume it and must reduce it to ash. Because no sin can stand before the glory of this Son of Righteousness. As we sing, it will consume afar and near all those that evil cherish. What a day that will be. That's why some of us this morning do not want to think of that day. You don't want to think of coming into the light of the Son of Righteousness, because you love the darkness rather than the light. What a fearful way to live. What a foolish way to live. Really, every one of us, when we think of that Son of Righteousness coming with all His glory, can make us all ask, who can stand? And that makes this verse 2 so amazing. But to you who fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. He will come with those wings. When we hear wings, we think of something that flies, something that goes fast. When we draw wings on something, it means it goes fast. He will appear suddenly, and that's true. But the wings here also have that sense of rays. You've seen it, haven't you? You see a sunset, for example, and you see those rays shining through the clouds. Sometimes you see it even during the day, those rays shining through the clouds, and it's like those lines that come right from the sun, right down to earth. There are those rays that come. And so it says that He will come with those wings, those rays. And in those rays there will be healing. Not destruction, but healing. It's those same rays that burn and consume sin which will spell healing. Because He will come to those who fear His name, and those burning rays of His righteousness will consume all that sin, all that disease of sin. It will be burned away. It will be gone. Forever. All that sickness, physically, and that pain and that suffering and that distress of mind and of body will be healed forever. And all that plague of plagues, as Ralph Fenning called sin, maybe you've read that book of his, the plague of plagues will be healed in a moment. And it will be gone. Never, ever to infect again when the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in His wings. Oh, what a day that will be when He appears with healing in His wings. Those rays will transform. to have a glorious body and a pure soul in which to glorify God forever, delivered from every sickness. Is it any wonder that the text goes on to say that ye shall go forth as calves of the stall? I don't know if you've ever seen that in real life or on a video. Calves, cows even, that are there in the barn all winter, and the spring comes and the grass starts to grow and there's pasture and they're let out. And at first they're a little hesitant, and then they begin to walk, and then they begin to realize that they're in the freedom and they're in the sunshine. And as they do, they begin to jump and they begin to kick their back legs and they begin to go around in circles. And even the ones that are older seem like calves in the sunshine, because they've been brought into the light, they've been brought into the freedom, they've been brought into the sunshine, and there is this joy. It says that's only a faint picture of what that will be. To be in the light of this Son of Righteousness who heals completely, then there will be joy. Then there will be joy unbounded. Their joy shall then unbounded be who see God's face eternally, their heart's desire receiving. Oh, is that the song of your heart? That is the desire of your heart. Your desire is to be in the light, to be with Him. Then you will joy forever. What about the enemies? The enemies are gone. It says, "You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet." This is a language of complete victory. If an enemy is under your feet, then that enemy is utterly defeated. Remember Joshua, and he defeated those kings of Canaan, and he called his captains, and he told his captains to put their feet on the necks of those kings, and it was showing that they were utterly defeated. And here it is not just a placing of their feet on the necks of the enemies, it's placing them on the ashes of the enemies. Where are the enemies? They're gone. Totally. Destroyed. Why? Is it because those who feared God's name have destroyed them? Is it because they are so strong against sin and Satan and this world and they have destroyed it at last, and that's why they can enter into that joy? It says they'll be ashes. How are they ashes? It's because the Son of Righteousness has arisen and He has consumed all His enemies and they're reduced to ash. He has gained the victory and He lets His people share in that victory that He has gained. They should be as ashes. Now they're not. Now you who fear God's name struggle with sin and feel the power of Satan. But from sin and evil, mighty though they seem, His arm almighty will His saints redeem. They should be as ashes under your feet. Does anyone this morning still dare say it doesn't really make a difference whether you fear the Lord or not? Does anyone dare say it doesn't really matter whether you serve the Lord or not? After all, everything just goes on the way it is. And it doesn't seem as if the Lord notices whether you serve Him or whether you live in sin against Him. Does anyone dare say what they said in the days of Malachi, that the proud are happy because the proud get ahead? Before this great day of the Lord, that's when we will see what a difference it makes. It's a difference between being ashes and the difference between entering into that eternal joy. And the one who makes that difference is this Son of Righteousness that will arise with healing in His wings. God says through Malachi, "To you who fear My name," you in the days of Malachi, you in the year 2021, He will arise to reach you with His rays of healing light. And you will delight in Him, and you will tread down the enemies underfoot as He brings you to that place that has no need of the sun, because God and the Lamb is the light thereof. Then, what a day that will be. Does that stir you with hope? Soon, this weary night will be gone, and the Son of Righteousness will appear with all His glory. That it makes you look like the watchers look for the morning light. When will it come? Who wait in this way? It's you who fear My name, He says. And that brings us to our second point, the promised rising of the sun, involving this ongoing rising. This text is not just a general message that Christ will come, but it's addressed to a specific type of people who will benefit on that day that He comes, you who fear My name. And that's why it's absolutely essential that you and I are included in this description as ones who fear My name. Who are ones who fear God's name? There are contrasts to those who don't. We read of those who don't and those who do. Another way of putting it is in chapter 3, verse 18, that ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not to serve God is to be wicked, is to not fear God. To love sin and not God means you're one who doesn't fear God. To serve yourself, to serve others, to serve whatever else, and not God, then you don't fear God. As He says in chapter 3, verse 5, doesn't He? He will come against the adulterers, those who are living in sexual immorality, and false swearers, those who use the lie to maintain their lives. And those who oppress the hireling and misuse the stranger and don't care for the widow and the fatherless. He says, these fear not Me, saith the Lord of hosts. Those who live for themselves don't fear God. Is that you? It also says, those who do the work of the Lord deceitfully. Those who go through the motions of worshipping God and doing what He commands, but it's without the heart, and that's why they also cut corners, like these ones who thought, we'll bring our sacrifices. When they looked, they thought, oh, that one is lame, so let's bring that one as a sacrifice. It says they don't fear Me. And that's why they're playing these games of pretending to serve Me. But it's not with the heart, and that shows in how they serve Me. Again, we ask, is that who you are? Are you addressed here as you who fear My name? Or, verse 1, the proud and those that do wickedly? And again, maybe you say, but me, the proud, me do wickedly, I'm not that bad. But that's exactly what those who didn't fear God said. Notice how what we read in chapter 3, they talked about how they served God and how they walked with God and how they did these things. Yet their heart wasn't in it. You who fear My name, what is the secret to fearing God? That's something that affects your whole life, because it affects your very heart. This fear of God is this awe of God, this reverence of God that leads you to fall down before Him. It draws you to Him to fall down before Him in reverence and awe. It's that trembling adoration of who God is. It's this loving reverence that arises in a heart that is alive to God. A heart that can't stay from God. Love is at the root of this fear of God, this reverence of God, that makes you afraid to displease God and desire to honor Him and to please Him. And how can any of us be ones who fear God? What is the secret to fearing God today? It's the light of this Sun of Righteousness shining in your heart. It's impossible to fear God without this Sun of Righteousness shining upon you. Because apart from the light of the Sun of Righteousness, we're in darkness. And when we're in darkness, we don't see the glory of God, and we never truly reverence Him. The secret to this fear, which gives the assurance that when He comes, He will come with healing in His wings, is that He comes already now as that Sun of Righteousness with healing in His wings, so that in His light you see the light, and that changes your heart into a reverence for Him. God is the one who now, today, shines with the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and He shines with that light into sinful, darkened hearts. And it's a light that both convicts and saves. It's the light of the Sun of Righteousness that so convicts. It exposes what we are and our sin. When the light of Christ's perfect righteousness shines upon us and we see that there is no fault in Him and that He only ever did good and that He is righteousness itself, then we're done with comparing ourselves to others and thinking, well, I'm not as bad as that person, and I'm not as bad as that person. When we compare ourselves to others, we can always think we find others worse than ourselves, that we're not so bad. But when we come to compare ourselves to Christ, and when He shows who he is as Jesus Christ, the righteous, that so exposes, doesn't it? And when the light of the Sun of Righteousness, not only as the one who perfectly obeyed God, but also as the one who is the righteous, as the one who satisfied the justice of God, as He suffered, as He died upon the cross, the just for the unjust. What is left of pride? When you see sin, unrighteousness, pride, wickedness is so bad that it took nothing less than the Son of God coming into this world, becoming man, and as man, humbling Himself even unto that shameful death of the cross. That exposes sin for what it is. And at the same time, that very same sunlight that shines from Jesus Christ the righteous, showing that He is the righteous one, showing He is the one who satisfied the righteousness, the justice of God, is what brings healing for a pierced heart, for a broken heart. Because it's saving righteousness that He has. It's a righteousness that He not only has, but also that He gives to those who are unrighteous. So that God puts it on your account, so that you may be righteous in the sight of God, and you may stand and not be consumed by His glory. It's a righteous satisfaction of the justice of God through his blood, which is so perfect that it's sufficient to cleanse all your sin away and for God to be pleased with you. That's why Psalm 130 says, we sang it, there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. It's the light of this Son of Righteousness showing the forgiveness of God that fills with this fear of God. And is it then any wonder that this text goes on, that then you shall go out as calves of the stall, you shall go forth? Is that not what gives a joy in this life already? A joy that cannot be compared to any other joy. The joy of his redeeming love, the joy of his favor as it shines in the Son of Righteousness who comes to you in the midst of your darkness and your bondage and your sin. Remember Luther, how he so struggled and how he resisted the righteousness of God because it came against him and it condemned him, until he learned that he could be saved by the righteousness of another. And when God, the Son of Righteousness, shone with healing in his wings into the heart of Luther, then he said it was as if the gates of paradise opened up to him, and he could go forth as that calf from the stall, and he could go into the liberty of the children of God. He should go forth as calves of the stall. You think of Luther, or can you think of yourself? There you were in that prison. There you were in that darkness, in that bondage. What set you free? Was it not the light of this Son of Righteousness coming and showing you his salvation? That is what gave liberty. That is what gave the favor of God. That is what gave the sunshine of the Son of Righteousness and of the favor of God. That is also what gave victory, didn't it, over sin. This Son of Righteousness also addresses not only that problem of guilt, but also of the power of sin and of the enemies of God. You struggled to overcome sin, and it didn't work until the Son of Righteousness shone. And it was that Son of Righteousness which exposed sin for what it is and made sin exceeding sinful and hateful and disgusting and loathsome in the light of the Son of Righteousness. And that's how the power of sin, the enemy of God, was broken or not. What a blessing to know the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wings today. His light driving back the darkness, the death, the ignorance, the sin, the misery that keep from spiritual life and also make life so miserable. Because it's a sun that shines with the favor of God. You who know my name, you who fear my name, are you in whom the Son of Righteousness has begun to shine so that you see him as full of grace and truth, the only begotten Son of God? Oh, then let you who fear his name be filled with amazement that this sun has been pleased to arise, to shine in your heart. Why you? Why you? When there's others in utter darkness right now, why you? When there's others who have heard that gospel so often and yet sit in darkness, why you? It's because God fulfills this text that the Son of Righteousness arises and shines, and his light will be known It's the grace of God, isn't it? And let that constrain you to gratitude to God, to humility before Him. Who am I that He would shine with His healing light into a heart like mine? And let that fill you with that desire to indeed walk in this light, to know more of this Son of Righteousness, to know more of the healing that is in His wings in the midst of all the ongoing darkness and ongoing disease that you find within. Let that make you take the more earnest heed to His Word, whereby He shines with His light today. Let your focus be on this Son of Righteousness. Let your one desire be to know more of Him. Someone else missed that light. Do you long to live within that healing, life-giving, joy-giving, victory-giving wings of the Son of Righteousness? Do you sit in darkness? My friend, God is still fulfilling this text. God is still coming with the light of His grace, and He is doing so in an ongoing way because this Son of Righteousness has come. And therefore, when you feel like you're in darkness today, then let it turn your eyes back to what God has done in sending His Son, which is our final point, that fundamental fulfillment of this promise. Congregation, there is a Son of Righteousness today because God has sent Him in the fullness of time. In the midst of the darkness of this world, there came that light we read of in Luke 2 and Luke 1 already. A day spring from on high that has visited us. He has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He has come. Yes, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That is true, but He shone nonetheless. And He is there as that Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. Oh, just look how He came, when He came. With healing in His wings. He came. And there was that leper who came running to Him, bowing down before Him. If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He stretched forth His hand. He said, I will. Be thou clean. There was that healing in His wings, and that leper was cleansed, and that leper could again be restored to the worship of God and the presence of God because of this healing in the wings of Christ. This is who Christ is, not only then, but also today. There you are. Maybe you sit here like a leper, unclean, diseased. But the Son of Righteousness has come. Come to say, I will. Be thou clean. Who can stay away from this Son of Righteousness? You see Him again. He's preaching. And the house is full. And there's that noise and there's that opening, and down comes that man laying there in all his helplessness. And the Lord Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they murmur. He says, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He says to that man, rise up and walk. He came with healing in His wings. He came with that light that revealed forgiveness as testified by the miracle He performed. What a light to you who are distressed. To you who wonder, how can I enter into that light, that sunshine of the favor of God? It's because this Christ has come as a Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings to those who are guilty, to give that life-giving pardon of sin today. Why would you not lay before him all your sin, all your guilt, all your failure? Lay it all before him. Lord, here I am with it all. The Son of Righteousness has come to give that forgiveness, to bring into his light. You see the Lord Jesus. He is there, come across the sea. And that man meets him, that legion. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He sees him in all his bondage, in all the darkness, in all the power of his enemies. And he sends him away. And that man becomes a new man. Because the Son of Righteousness shone with healing in his wings. And he brought him out of the darkness of bondage of his enemies into that glorious liberty of the fear of God's name and the service of him. This Son of Righteousness lives still today. Who here feels in bondage to sin? Where will you go? To whom will you cry? Is it not to this Son of Righteousness who has come exactly for such people? To deliver them, to shine with his light, to bring into the liberty. Oh, he has come. He has that light, and he has that light to give. Who here would go on without him? Who here, having known something of the light, would go on at a distance from him with everything having become dark again? Oh, is it not a call to come into the light of this Son of Righteousness, in the way of confessing before him all the diseases, all the plagues, all the darkness, all the wrong, for him to overcome without those healings in his wings? You sigh, you're burdened, you're cast down. And the message of the Lord is, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Really? It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. It shall. Nothing shall be able to stop him. You say, I can't create the darkness. Light, you don't have to create the light. You don't create the sunshine that comes in the morning. It comes. And so you may look to him in the midst of your darkness. He says, he has come to give light to those in darkness. And you who have struggled, and you who feel defeated by Satan, don't try to fight him in the dark, because he loves to work in the dark. And you'll never overcome him in the dark of your own darkened existence. He says, the Son of Righteousness has come. That you'd lay it before him. All that power of his enemies. Even that enemy inside your own heart. Yourself. It's the Son of Righteousness who has come. To banish that darkness. To overcome that power. Bring it to him. For him to overcome. How can that be? How can he do so? It's because he entered into the greatest darkness, the worst darkness. Do you see him? When there's nothing to see with the physical eye, because he is hanging there in that darkness. The darkness that we deserve to be in forever and ever and ever and ever. A gloom so thick, smotheringly thick, as if that oppression of the wrath of God bears down upon his soul. There he hung, the Son of Righteousness, Is this the Son of Righteousness? In the darkness, his body being broken, his soul in the dark. There he took the place of those who deserve only darkness, to give them his place of light and of life. There he secured the gift of light and the gift of life. And does anyone here think that Christ would be willing to endure the darkness and not be willing to give the light today to you, whoever you are? Oh, let your darkness bring you to his darkness. And there you see what he so suffered to be able to give you the light, the life, so that darkness would not have the final word. And all this, these problems and all this lack would not have the final word, even when you know something of the light and you may be discouraged with all the remaining darkness that there is. That will not have the final word. The final word we find in the final chapter of the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And he will come then to you who fear my name as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And you will go forth out of this weary night into the light forevermore. What a Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, thou hast created us in the light, and we have plunged ourselves into darkness, and we could never restore the light, but thou hast sent thy Son as a Son of Righteousness to come into the darkness of this world. O Lord God, to thee be the thanks for what thou hast done, and that he has entered the deepest darkness to give the most glorious light. O Lord, we can never understand what he has done, and we pray that none of us would neglect such a work of his and would hide in the darkness. O Lord, draw us into the light. The light of Christ that delivers, that heals, and that gives a joy that nothing else can. And so then also in the midst of that remaining struggle that there is, even knowing the Son of Righteousness, that it may only stir up to long for that day when he shall come, and all the weary night is past, and to awake in righteousness at last, through the Son of Righteousness. Bless, Lord, thy word. Bless us further in this day. Gather the congregation again this afternoon. Bless Pastor Prose as he brings thy word this afternoon, and also as he ministers in the midst of the congregation in various ways. Use him richly, Lord, to thy glory, and strengthen him for this task. We ask these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.